Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Read You Later, a fun and captivating show that discusses the best in art, literature, entertainment, and political activism. And tonight, we are continuing to celebrate the month of love. Now, we've heard about the goodie box, and the goodie box means different things to different people. But tonight, we're going to have someone who's going to explain to us her version of her own goodie box. So I would love to welcome to Read You Later, Valerie J. Lewis Coleman. Welcome to Read You Later.
Well, thank you for having me, ma'am. I appreciate the opportunity to share with your listening audience today.
And we appreciate you coming on and explain to us, what is this goodie box?
Now, see, now you're playing, but we're going to talk about the goodie box. I have one, you have one, your girlfriends have one. Brethren don't have one, although most of them, you know, they want to be real close to one. She's my close personal friend. I never leave home without her. She's been with me all my life. Her.
Her. Now, what is so intriguing about the goodie box that you had to write about it? And if you don't know, let's give my listeners the title of the book and where they can find this book that talks about, describes, and go into depth about the goodie box.
The title is The Forbidden Secrets of the Goodie Box, Relationship Advice That Your Father Didn't Tell You and Your Mother Didn't Know. And it's
a
bestseller
right.
novel, okay, because I had to learn the hard way. It's a bestselling novel, and what I wanted to do, my reason for writing the goodie box book was to empower women to make better relationship choices. I had struggled with and that's what most women say, girl, I wish I'd have had this book before I met that joker, or before I got caught up in this, or before. But I had a lot of relationship challenges, and like most women, I went to my girlfriends, my mom, and my sister for advice. And I did that for a few years. Finally, I realized that if I want to understand men and why they do the things they do to us in relationships, I had to go to the source. So I started going to men. I started polling and researching and interviewing, asking, observing, being nosy, ear hustling, eavesdropping. I was doing all of that to get the 411 as to why the 911 calls kept happening. And what I found in my research was so life-changing for me personally that I wanted to share it with other women. I wanted other women to understand some of the things that we're doing to make men do the things that they do, and how we can change our thoughts, our words, our actions to attract and keep lasting love. So The Forbidden Secrets of the Goodie Box was born out of my anguish and wanting to keep other women from experiencing the same things I had experienced.
Yes, because we know that society tells us, even though we're supposed to be enlightened at this point, but society, if you look everywhere from music, television, even books, it tells you in some way that women, we aren't complete without having that mate, that somehow or another we have failed if we don't have that mate. So how is your book relevant to messages that women, what we hear today?
Well, what I tell women, regardless of whether you want to be in a relationship or you want to be single, at the end of the day, you have to be as whole as you can be. So it's
exactly.
not about having a man to complete you. It's about being complete already. You know, because when I coach or mentor or, you know, share relationship advice with women who are having these relationship challenges, one of the things I find with them is that they get lost in their relationship. Or they're, like you say, incomplete. They feel like, well, I'm not married, or I haven't accomplished this, or I haven't done that relative to someone else. So they're putting their destiny, their future, their hopes, their life goals and dreams are connected to a man, connecting to God, and then secondly connected to themselves. So as I tell women all the time, the Bible says to become one flesh. But nobody wants to talk about the process of becoming. So we skip all over that. Two going to become one. When we get married, we just a threefold cord is not easily broken. And that all sounds good until you get into the mix of that marriage. And most of the time what happens is when even in the Christendom, when we get married for the wrong reason. We marry the wrong person. We don't understand God's principles and expectations of marriage. Then we wonder why what God has put together, let not man put asunder, we end in divorce. Well, the first part of that is what God put together. We don't let him do it.
Oh,
we marry
yeah.
for the wrong reason.
I
marry the wrong person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I know women who got divorced and were still paying for weddings because some people fall in love
okay.
with the idea of the wedding and
finding
the dress, you know, and, you know, romanticizing, you know, what we see on TV, reality television
mm-hmm.
shows, and having several wedding showers and all that
mm-hmm.
stuff. And I'm not saying anything is wrong with that, you know, it's a place and time, especially if it's in your budget. But don't fall in love with the idea of the wedding. You need to fall in love with that man. And as you were saying earlier, like the principles, like what you know, can you stand the rain? I think that's one of the most holistic
okay.
songs, prophetic songs from New Edition. Can you stand the rain, babe? Because, you know it's not going to be sunshine all the time. So can you stand
Absolutely.
The rain? And if you can't stand the rain, if you can't stand the rain together, you know, if you can't share that one umbrella, perhaps you all need just to go your separate ways.
Absolutely. Well, see, like, and you made it very, you said it very succinctly. Women, because we are emotional and God designed us and wired us to be emotional creatures, they focus on the pomp and circumstance and how I'm going to feel on this special day and this is my special day. And they put more time into the event than they do getting ready for the marriage. The lifelong part of it, this one-day event or 2 or 3 days, if you're having showers and all that other stuff, they spend more time and invest more energy and effort in making the outside look good, not focusing on what's going to happen on the inside. You know, like I tell my clients when it comes to books, a marriage can be like a funeral. The first 2 weeks when you first get married, the first couple weeks after you get married, you know, everybody's celebrating you and you got all this fanfare and folks are around you and making sure you're good and you're okay and bringing gifts and celebrating you. And then that second week or so after, now you're stuck. You're looking at this person like, who? What in the – gee, I didn't – your money, you put the toilet seat down, how long are we going to go? You know, then you start seeing stuff for real. And those are the things that we don't prepare for marriage. We are taught how to be – doctors, lawyers, engineers. We are taught how to host radio shows. We are taught how to, you know, do whatever we do on our day job. We are not taught how to be companions or spouses. We are not taught how to be parents. So the two most influential and pivotal parts of who we are and the effect that we can have on other people, we do by happenstance, you know, trial and error, what else all the people doing, what the media says I'm supposed to do, what the celebrities are doing, and we become hurt people and we hurt people.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
so we have to spend
hurt
more time
people,
getting
others.
Absolutely. We have to fall in love with ourselves. And what I try to get women to understand, even in reading the Goody Box book, is not about waiting for a man to complete you. Because if you wait for him to complete you, you're going to be in trouble. Because 9 times out of 10, if you're waiting for somebody to complete you, you're going to attract somebody who's waiting to be completed. Now, y'all, two codependent, incomplete people trying to make it together.
Exactly.
Neither one can support the other. Because you don't have enough to sustain you. You're waiting on him to sustain you, and he can't sustain himself. You got to catch the bus because this car ain't working. You don't have enough money to pay your bill. You were hoping he going to cover it, babe. I got this child support, arrears and child support just popped up. What?
Mm-hmm.
But we don't plan for that
mm-hmm.
stuff. We're so busy
the
with, the, like you said, the pop and circumstance. We don't really delve into the realness of marriage.
The real,
money,
like you said,
the real,
uh huh. Because you
the
know,
in-laws.
The in-laws, yeah. Because you know, my grandma used to say, I just remember her and her friends would say, you know, loving can get funny when you ain't got no money, and you know they
Look,
say it as a joke, but you know it was a large twang of seriousness, you know, in that joke, because
absolutely.
You know that's when the rubber meets the road, and can you deal with the in-laws and outlaws and. And for how long,
mm-hmm.
and what's the circumstance, and who's going to be first?
You know, are we going to do this the way God wants to do it, or are we going to do it the way mom and them tell us to do it? So, you know, there are a lot of different things that go into relationships. So let's talk about Deborah Hampton. Give me, like, a few words to describe Deborah Hampton.
Deborah Hampton is one of the three main characters of The Forbidden Secrets of the Goody Box. Deborah is the single woman who is in this chaotic place in her life. She keeps running into these men whom she labels dogs, and it takes her a while to really understand it's not that all men are dogs. She just keeps shopping around the dog pound, collecting fleas with a T-bone steak around her neck. Yeah, that's what you're going to get when you act like that. Mm-hmm. And so Deborah is coming to understand herself, the things that she says and does, the places she goes that attracts the type of man that she says she doesn't want in her life. But see, you know, like they say, if something is broke, you got to fix it. If you keep doing the same thing over and over again and expect different results, that's insanity. Right. So she comes to realize that it's not that men are dogs. It's things that I'm doing to attract those type of men. And so she makes a few minor adjustments in her life and positions herself to not only be more confident in who she is, and not in an arrogant way, but to fall in love with herself so that she doesn't accept foolishness. Oftentimes, we settle out of fear, out of loneliness, out of depression, out of anxiety, out of not wanting to be the only one for whatever reason. We settle. I've actually heard women say, I'd rather have a piece of a man than no man at all. I'd rather share a man than be by myself.
Yeah, I used to hear that.
Have you heard that?
I hear that a lot. Well, definitely growing up. I can't say I hear it as much now. But as a youth, when I was, like you said, ear hustling and ear dropping, because, you know, we weren't allowed to be in adult conversation back then. But, yes, I've heard it quite often. The butcher leg. My grandma always had to say, honey, she ain't got nothing but butcher leg. I mean, you know, she ain't got both pair of, she don't even have the full pants. She just got a half pair of pants.
And she's okay with that.
Is she okay
with that? Some women are okay with that. But most women who are involved in relationships where they know that their man has multiple women, or they know they're the side chick, they have settled and they're accepting that, and it all the root cause of it is they don't value themselves. They don't value themselves.
Totally
they don't have confidence
totally
in who they
agree.
Are. Hmm.
And I know a few months ago, not I mean a month ago, maybe a month ago, Sierra came under fire about being a wife and finding yourself, and then I know Steph Curry's wife came under fire maybe a year ago. And they were really basing it on biblical principle, and Sierra was even pretty much basing it on the sermon of John Gray, if you will. And a lot of women were very hostile on Twitter. You know, they dragged her all around her weeds, you know, about that. And I looked at it from both points of view. And what she was saying, if you want to be a wife, act like a wife, pretty much, and don't act like a girlfriend, and don't accept yourself a girlfriend status. And if you look at her, look at what she has evolved from, you know, from being from this person, baby mama, to being this man's wife. So she was teaching. To me, she was teaching. She was teaching from a point, not of judgment, but letting you know, honey, I've been there. And I think that often,
here's what I did.
Because of social media, we are too quick to jump on a bandwagon and say, oh, that's wrong, that's right. But that's wrong, and how dare you? But I'm sure what she said resonated with some women.
And actually what she said is very much biblical. The Bible says in Proverbs 18 and 22, the man who finds a wife finds a good thing. He didn't say the man who finds a woman, because women are everywhere. So when he found her, she was already wifey material. He didn't have to help her to be wifey material. He didn't have to show her how to pay bills, wash dishes, clean her house, clean herself. You know, he didn't have to show her these things. She was already in position for that. Like the 10 virgins, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. 5 were ready and 5 weren't. and what women who are wanting to be complete or needing him to be their better half or make them whole are women who are in the vein of being the five foolish virgins. You're really not ready. If you're waiting on somebody to fix you, you're in trouble. Because if he could fix you, why would he want to deal with somebody he could fix and go for somebody who was already fixed? So if he's coming for you because he wants to fix you, he's looking for somebody who's going to be dependent upon him, which puts you in a position of inferiority, which puts you in a position of being controlled and manipulated. And so then it all goes back to the confidence and the self-esteem and valuing yourself and loving yourself. When you truly love yourself, you set boundaries and standards and expectations for how everybody around you interacts with you. And not to be bougie or conceited or, you know, unapproachable. But what it does is when women understand the value of who they are and what they bring to a relationship outside of their goodie box, because we got to bring more than that to the table. He can get that anywhere. But what he cannot get is love, loyalty, confidence, respect, value, independence. He can't get that everywhere. Goodie, he can get anywhere. And so we have to position ourselves to understand the value of what we bring to the table, who we are, because when you position yourself and understand your confidence is elevated, what happens is as magnets, we either attract or we repel. And so what happens is when your confidence is high, you will attract men of quality because substandard men ain't going to try to fool with you. Now, a couple of them might try to step to you just to see if they can't break you down.
But they already know.
But men,
but they already know.
So they just come in and they bounce off of it. You just repel them like, right, they repelled. Oh, she too much for me. I can't handle that. But when you have low self-esteem, when you are weak and wounded and vulnerable, when you are hurt and lonely and miserable, you put out energy to the universe that I will take any man as long as he has a working penis. Can I say penis on your show?
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Okay. So as long as he has a working penis, I'll take him.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so some women, that's what they settle for, and that's what they get. But then he's sharing his, he's sharing his goodie with everybody. And he's bringing extra stuff home to you. He ain't bringing home any money, but he might be bringing some chlamydia and some STD and a couple of extra babies. But that's what you wanted. That's what you got.
And as you were saying earlier, you know, some women are okay with it. But, you know, I think a lot of women have denied and lied to themselves and made them feel, well, I can't, that they feel that they can't find what they are yearning for, so they feel, okay, wow, as you said earlier, settle for this. Oh, it's okay, but it's really not okay with them. They've just come accustomed to their lifestyle, and we're not here to judge, but we're here to, like, just set people free. And as you were saying earlier, you know, you attract a biblical principle. You have to speak it, you have to live it, and you also have to present it. And you have to cut out foolishness. So when you cut out foolishness, them brothers, like you said earlier, them jokers, they don't want to play at all. Now, before we go along any further, how can people connect with you, and can you share some titles of your earlier work?
Absolutely. Well, let me say this. What I'm offering to your listeners today on Read You Later, if they go to my website, thegoodyboxbook.com, and goody is G-O-O-D-Y, thegoodyboxbook.com, I will give them a complimentary PDF, which is Every Man's Private Marriage Checklist, so they can learn more about the book, learn more about me, and get this complimentary PDF, which is a culmination of my researching men. So I took the qualities and characteristics that men say, yeah, that they want in a woman that they want to wed and not just bed. Because, you know, when they're depending upon a man's objectives, they treat women differently. If all he wants is your goodies, you're not going to get all of him. You're not going to get the steak and lobster dinners on an ongoing basis, unless you plan on putting out, you know, if his objective is to get it and he knows that's what you like to eat, that's what he's going to give you. He's going to give you just enough to get what he wants, then he's going to be on his way. So, yeah, so the website, thegoodyboxbook.com, and they can get the complimentary PDF and learn more about me and the book. But some of my other titles, everything I do is about inspiration and empowering and encouraging. So my very first book was Blended Families, an Anthology, which is a book on step families. It's been a number one on Amazon. It's been on several other bestsellers lists. And I wrote it specifically to help step families. I was in a step family. I married my husband. He had three kids. I had two, not the Brady Bunch. But I thought I'm saved. I love the Lord. He's saved. He loves the Lord. We're going to work this family issue out. Girl, psych, not. It was a lot of work, and there were times when I was like, okay, Jesus, that man, like Adam did with Eve, that man you gave me and them kids, you can have them back. I've already beat that national average. I've been married 12 years. The average is about 5.
Awesome.
I'm good. I'm ahead of the curve. Oh, yeah, I was talking to Jesus like I'm out. Peace. But that wasn't what he had for me. So we've been married now for 24 years. It'll be 24 years in July. But it hasn't been easy.
Ooh.
So that was my first book, To Help Step Families. Yeah. And then I've written a book. I teach writing and publishing to inmates and high school students. So I published an anthology with them. I recently released an anthology, The Weight of Success, How to Become an Overnight Success in 7,300 Days. And the purpose for that anthology was to get stories from self-made millionaires, doctors, other professionals, and people who have had success, whether in their personal life or their business life, just to tell their story. You know, we see people in their fame and glory, and they're all dressed up, and the hair and nails are done, and they're looking wonderful, and you missed all the backstory to it. So like I tell people
exactly now,
you see my glory, you missed all the gory. You missed everything, all the snot
yeah.
and crying, and the times I went without food, and when my hair wasn't, and you missed all of that. You see me on Facebook, and you see people on Facebook, and they look like their lives are wonderful, because most folks only put the good stuff out on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
and you begin
you
to question.
Know what's behind their mask.
You, look, we don't know nothing. They only let you see the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We begin to question,
mm-hmm.
am I in the right thing? Am I doing what God said? You know, am I wasting my time? Why am I doing these things? And so I put that book together, and the first story in there is my introduction, talking about King David. David spent 21 years from the time of anointing to the time of actually appointing. He spent 21 years getting ready to be king. He was chased by people who he thought loved him. King Saul, who was his spiritual father, chased him and tried to kill him. He had daggers thrown at him. He fought in wars. He never fully turned his back on God, but he didn't always do what God told him to do. And still, despite all of that, he was still a man after God's own heart. And so David went through this process of learning and maturing and pruning and growing and refining his circle. It was all process, but we missed
it.
Everybody wanted it overnight.
And as you said earlier, you know, people look at Facebook or social media and they say, oh, such and such, such and such. But like you said, you don't know what's going on behind that mask. You don't know that the story. And a lot of times what people deem as an overnight success, honey, it took years in the making. It took, like you said, pain.
Absolutely.
It took the weeping and the sewing. So people need to get ready.
Honing the craft.
You won't believe
all
it, but our time is daring near. So I want to give you the opportunity to shout out how people connect with you on social media. And if they want you as a guest speaker or to Skype or to attend their book club meeting, how can people connect with you?
Okay. Everything I do pretty much online is Pen of the Writer. P-E-N as an ink pen, Pen of the Writer. So Facebook, Pen of the Writer. Twitter, Pen of the Writer. YouTube, Pen of the Writer. LinkedIn, Pen of the Writer. Facebook? Yes. And then my website, which is under construction, is also Pen of the Writer. And that comes from the scripture, Judges 5:14, where it talks about going to war. And the last war was Pen of the Writer. The last tribe fought using the Pen of the Writer. Because I want to take the message that I have and convey it with other people, either by using written word or spoken word, to help other people live their best life. I'm re-engineering lives. So, Pen of the Writer, everything.
Oh, wow, I love that. Re-engineering lives, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to thank you for coming on the show, and I thoroughly enjoyed our discussion. And if you're listening, please go to thegoodieboxbook.com, and there you will be able to, if I remember my notes correctly, to receive a free PDF?
Mm-hmm. Every man's
is
private marriage checklist. Yes.
And awesome. And we'll also like to shout out, we have a couple different things coming on, events coming up rather, Christian Fiction Weekend in Fayetteville. That's the last weekend of this month, that's Friday and Saturday. I'll be moderating. And I'd like to shout out Angela Anderson. She had a wonderful time moderating her All Things Romance. Of course, can't forget my event in August 24th, 25th, Lights, Camera, Action, my feature author, Beverly Jenkins. We have Beverly Jenkins, Iris Bowling, Deborah Mello, D.L. Sparks, Ms. Robinson, Norwood Holland, Eva J. Brock, and countless others. 2 days, we have our Girls Night Out. Then we have our Infamous Girls Night Out. Then we have Saturday, our workshops, book signings, and our pajama party that evening with bedtime stories with Ms. Bell, Deborah Mello, and Iris Bowling. We'll also have a fashion show sponsored by Deborah Mello. So we have a lot going on, and I'm glad to announce that I am on iHeartRadio already. Thought it would be in the next 2 weeks, but I'm already there. So look forward for me doing some live just to make sure I have my followers up on iHeartRadio. So we have a lot of things going on. And if you're interested in being an extra for the Deadly Sexy movie, book written by Beverly Jenkins, screenplay by Iris Bowling, please listen to me because we may be doing something special because I am the casting director and I am looking for some talent. So I got a lot of irons in the fire, and I want to say thank you again, Valerie, for coming on. I thoroughly enjoyed you, and you will not be disappointed if you purchase any of her books. Follow her on social media. Connect with her on various hashtags, and have a blessed evening. And ladies and gentlemen, I wanted to leave this with you, regardless of what's going on in the world, regardless of how it looks like on television and social media, just remember, God is still in control. Don't let it upset you. Don't let it vex your spirit. Just keep remembering God is in control, and he will have a final say. So I want to end on From My Heart to Yours. I would like to wish you a wonderful evening. Keep reading, and read you later. Have a wonderful evening. Good night.